Out of Canada for the Pioneers. This one back to center ice. Coach Greg Powers in his 10th year with ASU. Starts with the third line. They're out there right now. An opportunity right in front. Thrown in front. It's loose. Second time. And it's in. The Sun Devils score right away. 35 seconds in. Starting the third line. And they're able to score. Artem Schlein puts it in. The transfer from Northern Michigan. Thompson firing that one from the left circle as he got open. And now a breakaway. ASU takes the lead. Bennett Schimmick all alone by himself, able to beat Davis 5-hole. Schlein has been very good on faceoffs. That one sent around, and Alexander able to take it out. Not a lot of room and neutral ice, but Schlein now firing and scoring. A wrister makes it 3-2 with 45 seconds remaining. And ASU trying to stun Denver.
And there's a shot that will score, and ASU has tied it up from Noah Beck. Power play goal for ASU. Driving the net. Went off the skate of Buckberger and played now by Joel Shelburne as a man. Potter, deep, score! ASU continues the great transition play, and this time it was Cullen Potter streaking down that left side and buries it for a 2-1 ASU lead. Hit on Booyam, he's slow to get up. Shot, save, rebound, another save. Wrapped around, another shot, tipped and scored. And once again, ASU gets a goal, this time by Artem Schlein, his third of the weekend. Thompson keeps it in with a leg and momentarily, then Eckerle has a man driving the net into the fat forehand, and once again, it is Artem Schlein with another goal, his fourth of the weekend, second of the night, as he got around the defenseman, went back to the forehand and beat Davis. Didn't get much on the pass as it's lifted down. Racing forward is Schimmick, has it, puts it in the empty net. And ASU is going to go up by 5-2.
Down goes number one Denver. This is Inferno on Ice. I'm your host, Drew Smith, talking about a sweep of the number one Denver Pioneers. In the first game last weekend, the Sun Devils opened the weekend with a 3-2 victory. Artem Schlein wasted no time, scoring 35 seconds into the game to give ASU an early lead. Schlein wasn't done. He came through in clutch, netting the game-winning goal with only 45 seconds remaining in regulation. His back-to-back games with goals prove he's heating up at the perfect time. Between the pipes, Luke Pavicic stood tall for his fourth consecutive start, stopping 30 shots to preserve ASU's lead for 23 crucial minutes across the second and third periods. Bennett Schimmick added to the Sun Devils' offensive punch, tallying his sixth goal of the season. The win was monumental on multiple fronts. This is ASU's first victory in Denver and the 300th career win for head coach Greg Powers, spanning both across his time in the ACHA and the NCAA. In Game 2, the Sun Devils, they doubled down, securing a 5-2 victory to complete the sweep. Denver entered the series on a 21-game winning streak and started back in March 2024, but ASU handed the Pioneers their first home sweep since February of 2020, which was before the COVID-19 era. Denver, a powerhouse with two national titles in 2022 and 24, had no answer for the Sun Devils. Pavicic was rock solid in net again, making 24 saves. With this statement series, the Sun Devils rise to number 19 in the USCHL, boasting a record of 3-6-1 overall and 3-3 in the NCHC. This weekend not only snapped Denver's winning streak, but also serves as the ASU is a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, I think we just managed the puck really well this weekend. At the end of the day, we're obviously very excited about the results that we got against a very good program, but we didn't play any differently than we have in the last month. Like it was a carbon copy. We finally got the results, right? So I'm proud of our guys because they've stuck with it. But we have been playing, by and large, the best hockey structurally, in almost every way since we've been a program. But just weren't getting the results, and we did this weekend, and it feels good. Happy for our guys.
This weekend, the Sun Devils host Minnesota Duluth to preview the series and everything going on in college hockey and the NCHC. From the Duluth News Tribune is Matt Wellens. Here's my conversation with him. Are your shorts and sunglasses packed for this weekend?
Shorts. Thanks for the sunglasses reminder. I got to grab those out of my car yet.
So my first question for you, let's start talking about UMD. How do you think the Bulldogs have evolved this season?
I mean, it's a young team that's learning, that's growing. I think the absence of Max Plant for, what was it, 11 of 13 games, something like that. I think that had a huge impact on how this team developed and came together. Like, they had a really set, I think, line there with the Plant brothers and Jason Shogabe, and they had tremendous chemistry. You could see it right off the bat in game one against Bemidji, and then Max Plant goes down, and it just seemed to be like a ripple effect throughout the entire lineup. So, but that's part of learning. That's part of young teams, you know, figuring things out, is you're not always going to have those same lines. Players aren't always going to be there, whether it's an injury or a suspension or the World Juniors coming up. A number of teams are going to be without key players because of that. So you got to be able to adapt. And I think that might have been a struggle at first for some of these young players who, again, are just all getting used to college. And I always say this, it's not just an on the ice thing. It's an off the ice thing, too. It's a totally different, you know, schedule and grind playing college hockey. You got to balance school. You got to balance playing hockey. So they're figuring that out. Adapting to the physicality, I think, is the toughest part in the college game. It's just a lot of learning. And that's what they've been going through in the first half. I think the one area that they still have a lot of learning to do is how to win games, you know, and it sounds simple, right? Score more goals than you allow. But, you know, in the NCHC, it's tough. You got to be able to close out games. You got to be able to close out teams in the third period. You got to be able to maybe jump a team in the third period to take that lead if you've been behind. So yeah, it's been a learning experience for this team so far.
With the World Juniors coming up, who do you think is going to need to step up to replace those players?
Well, UMD right now is looking to only lose one, which is Adam Kleber on the back end. Possibly he's one of 10 defensemen for the U.S. on their preliminary roster. We'll see if he makes it. Obviously, he's an intriguing, you know, player for Team USA with his size and strength. Second rounder of the Buffalo Sabres. You know, he's like, I think he's listed at 6'5", I think around 210. Trying to remember what I just wrote yesterday in my head, but you know, he's a big physical presence. I think UMD will be okay on the blue line without him. Like, that's the one area where I think they have depth and that there's been some strength. One issue has been Joey Pierce has been thrown out of a couple games here already early on in the season, which is really uncharacteristic of him. But I think UMD could survive a game or two without Kleber. You know, Ty Hansen, a freshman defenseman, is really good. They have Aaron Pionk back there. Those are smaller guys, but, you know, Joey Pierce, assuming he doesn't get tossed out of games, that's a physical presence. Will Francis is another big body who hasn't seen the ice a ton. Obviously, he's still coming back from a bone marrow transplant now and his fight with leukemia and such. But they got guys on the back end, I think, that can step up.
What do you think the biggest strength of this Bulldog team is this season so far through today?
I think this is a team that can score, like, and that's not what we usually hear from Scott Sandlin teams, right? Usually that strength is defense, and they're getting better. That's an area that they are definitely learning and growing in. And I'm not just talking about the defense, and I'm talking about the team as a whole, a group of five on the ice. I think the defensemen have been, for the most part, okay, but maybe the forwards are still figuring out how to, you know, play that defensive style in college. It's a much bigger part of the game. Like, as you go up, defense, you know, whether you're forward or defenseman, becomes a bigger part of the game. There's a lot of defensemen that, you know, there's so many offensive defensemen out there that sometimes even those guys come into college and realize, oh, wow, I haven't been playing that much defensive hockey because I'm on a really good team that controls the puck all the time, is always on offense, something like that. Or I play at a junior league where they don't really play a ton of defense. And we, you know, let our goaltenders get their workouts in. Strength-wise, this is a team that can score. Like, UMD has goal scorers this year. We've seen them in games where they're keeping up offensively, and then defensively they're just not strong enough, and that's where they get beat. You know, they're losing games, you know, 5-3, they have a 7-5 loss in there, stuff like that.
Speaking of goal scoring, let's move into this weekend. Both games are sold out down in Tempe. What are your thoughts on the matchup between UMD and ASU?
Well, it's exciting to hear, you know, that a hockey in at Arizona State is flourishing. Probably helps that they get two big wins, sweeping Denver, the number one team in the country. That's a big boost for Arizona State with some of the ups and downs they had to start the year. Like, UMD still looking for that you know, that signature series win to start the year here. They've been swept by Western. They've been swept by North Dakota. They've been swept by Minnesota. You know, they lost to Bemidji in overtime. They split at Lowell, which I think later on in the season, we're going to see that as a pretty good split with how Lowell's doing and such. You know, they pounded Stonehill. You're going to have that. They swept Miami at Miami. So they're beating the teams that are under them, that teams have under them. They need to now step up and beat the teams that are over them. I think this will be evenly matched. Arizona State's kind of tough to gauge. Yeah, they had that really good weekend against Denver, but we've also seen them slip up a little bit. And it's just tough in the NCHC to ride the roller coaster, right? Of playing a big series against Denver. And now you want to see if Arizona State's gonna be up for this, but with a packed building, because UMD's down right now, right? I don't think people see the Bulldogs as those, you know, the 17, you know, the 16, 17, 17, 18, 18, 19, 19, 20, you know, those teams that, you know, and then the couple of years after COVID that were coming off, you know, NCAA championship runs. They're not, I don't think the Bulldogs are as intimidating anymore. But no, it's cool to hear it's sold out. I always joke it's weird for the Bulldogs, even for all the success they've had in college hockey, they're still not as well known to the casual or, you know, college hockey fan as other teams. Like, we were at Notre Dame shortly after, it was 18-19 season. So after UMD beat Notre Dame in the 17-18 national championship, and at Compton Ice Arena there, Notre Dame, long history of college hockey and such. You know, we're at Compton Family Ice Arena. Someone goes, I hear him in the concourse go, oh, who are we playing this weekend? And they're like, the person goes, Minnesota Duluth. They won the national championship. The person goes, I thought Minnesota won the national championship last year. And they're like, no, we lost to Minnesota Duluth. And it's like, oh, I thought it was Minnesota. I kind of thought they were the same thing. Like, they didn't realize the difference even between, you know, Minnesota Duluth and Minnesota. So, which, you know, same colors, you know, just a different logo on the front, a gopher block M versus a bulldog. Curious to see how Arizona State fans, you know, are reacting and picking to the NCHC. I know a lot of people thought this was like a natural marriage, Arizona State coming to the NCHC, but I did think it was going to be a little weird because they're playing a bunch of teams that most Arizona State sports fans have no clue existed. Like, how many people in Tempe and the Phoenix area have heard of St. Cloud State? How many of them know the different, you know, and I'm not counting the Snowbirds. There's lots of Snowbirds, and maybe that helps. Like, that'll be interesting to see, right? Is half the arena going to be Duluth fans? Because we got, you know, UMD alumni that are, you know, now living in Arizona. It's interesting. You know, how many knew there was a Nebraska Omaha in addition to an Omaha, or in addition to Nebraska, right? They just hear Nebraska and they think of the school in Lincoln. And I think sometimes UMD gets that with the casual, you know, Power Five or whatever you want to, Power Four, whatever you want to call it, sports fan.
Yeah, for me, I think it's kind of untraditional with the Sun Devils being in the NCHC. They're the biggest school by size and institution. They're a Power Four school. I would think they would maybe align more with the Big Ten, but location, it's a home run.
Yeah, I mean, I always thought the Big Ten was honestly the right fit for Arizona State. I mean, I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining. Looking forward to the trip to Tempe this weekend. It has been cold in Minnesota, like cold. And I know some people in Arizona, you're like, it's always cold in Minnesota. No, it's been cold for Minnesota. Like usually it's not this cold till maybe late December, early January. We've been since late November before Thanksgiving, we've gotten some snow and such. Originally, I thought, oh man, early December going to Arizona. I know it'll be nice down there. That's nice. The last time I was in the area for Arizona State's Desert Hockey Classic, it was like 40 degrees. It was 40, 50 degrees. It was like the coldest it had ever been in Arizona or something like that. UMD was down there and it was cold and not great. I don't think I got to wear shorts actually even that weekend. Yeah, I thought, oh, it could be like seasonally warm, which, you know, for Minnesota would be 40s. Maybe you get a warm 50 degree day in November or something like that. But anyways, it's going to be interesting to see how Arizona State fans adapt and learn and how they receive some of these small schools, whether they're Summit League schools like North Dakota, Denver, and Omaha, or Division II schools like Minnesota Duluth and St. Cloud State.
Yeah, that is going to be interesting. We're recording this on Tuesday. It's 70 degrees right now, and it's going to be 76 on Friday and 77 on Saturday. So I'm sure you're looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'll take it. I'm not a big 80s guy. I think when I originally looked at the forecast, it said 80s, and I was a little, that's getting a little warm. 70s is perfect. I love 70s.
Yeah, it'll be nice when you walk out of the rink. It'll be really nice there. We talked kind of about some of the NCHC schools. What are your thoughts on the NCHC this year?
It's interesting. You know, even though Denver lost the 2 to Arizona State, I kind of want to say Denver was due and such for that run to come to an end. I still think Denver's just the class of the league right now. They are definitely at the top. They're you know, I haven't seen them play in person yet, but from what I've seen, they're just rolling along, man. Like it's impressive what they've done. It helps that they got Zeev Bouyam back. Like he's just such a phenomenal player. The rest of the NCHC, I really like what Colorado College is doing this year. They seem to be really strong. Western looked really good. I thought Western was good when they were up here in Duluth, better than I thought they would be. And of course, my question always with Western is their goaltending, but they got a 1-2 punch right now with Hampton Slewski and Cameron Rowe. They are very good. And I think that's key if you can get that in college, have that 1-2 punch in the goaltending. Yeah, it's great to ride one, you know, number one guy. But if you can have a second guy that's really good too, it's really beneficial. So Western, I think, is a lot better than I thought they were. So like that's your top three, I think, in the league right now. North Dakota, man, I don't know what to think of them. Like 1 week, they looked decent. They looked pretty good against UMD up here. Then they have other weeks where they just struggle. Now, I don't think people should discount their, you know, loss and tie to Bemidji as much. Bemidji's beaten Minnesota this year. They beat UMD to start the year. Like Bemidji's probably good and probably not getting enough respect in the polls. They also have bad losses, which doesn't help them. So, you know, I'm trying to figure out what to make of North Dakota right now. I don't know if their I don't think their goaltending is where they would like it to be. Their scoring is there, but defensively, they're probably not as sound as they should be. It's just an interesting team. Omaha's struggling. I liked them the first weekend. I was all like, hey, Omaha looks really good. And they haven't since. Miami is... they're in year one of what's probably a really long rebuild. So, yeah, that's kind of where the NCHC stands. A lot can change in the second half, though, right? Like North Dakota, I think, could right the ship and get hot again. I think UMD, if their young guys can, you know, figure things out, that's where UMD's strength is going to come from, right? It's going to be their younger guys that are going to have to really take them to the next level. You know, they can go there. And Arizona State, I look at them and I think it's just a feeling out process for them yet in this league. I think they may need a year. They're going to have ups. They're going to have these great weekends like they did against Denver. And then they might have a, you know, this UMD weekend could be a hiccup for them, but get a season under your belt at the NCHC and they'll be in a good spot.
And up until this weekend, Arizona State had about 6 players that were injured. I think the only one that's missing right now is Lucius from the Sun Devils.
Yeah, and UMD's gone through a bit of that too. Jack Smith has been in and out. Dominic James has missed a game. I'm trying to remember who else has been in and out of the lineup, but injuries happen. It's just what happens to teams. You got to roll with it. Everyone gets them. You got to find ways around it. That's why depth it's so important to build depth in your lineup. You got to have, lines 1 through 4. Your fourth line has to be strong. Drew, you were around Duluth, when they were winning those national championships. What always stood out to me about those teams wasn't necessarily that they had a dynamite first line or second line. Their fourth line was as good as anyone's in college hockey. Like, that line could go out there and match up with anyone's third line. Heck, a lot of teams' second line, they could do damage. And I'm not talking about like necessarily offense, like go up there and light it up, but they can control the puck. They play sound defensively, just a solid line that can, routinely go out there every, four shifts and help the team spell some of those top players.
That's a lot to ask. There were so many when I was there. A couple of weeks ago, we had the CHL news that CHL players can play in the NCAA. How do you think that's going to impact the NCHC?
I think everyone thinks it's going to have this seismic change in college hockey, and I don't necessarily know if it is. I think, first off, you're seeing some players commit right now, but there are academic hurdles that current CHL players are going to need to overcome. Like, if you played in the North American League and the USHL and even like the BC League and some of these other junior A leagues in Canada, like, they have people there that make sure you are academically ready and going to be eligible when you go to college. Like, I think we're going to see some of these CHL guys who have committed this year not end up actually playing in the NCAA next year because academically they just weren't planning for it, right? Like, they went the CHL route. They're not going to go play in the NCAA. They're planning to play in the NHL. They're not worrying about school. Been worrying about what classes they need to take and everything. And the NCAA has requirements and grade point averages and all that. So I'd be leery of that. And I think that might be why you're not seeing the NCHC rush in. Like, you're not seeing these NCAA, NCHC schools rush in and start committing all these CHL guys. A lot of the schools that are jumping on it are the CCHA, a little bit of Atlantic Hockey and stuff. Schools that haven't maybe been able to tap into, that have struggled to get top players from the USHL. Schools that have traditionally maybe recruited the North American League more for their, top guys are now going to be looking, hey, maybe we can get better players in the CHL. Like, where it's really going to impact the CHL allowed in the NCAA is junior hockey. I think it's going to be really tough on junior A leagues in Canada. They're going to have to reinvent themselves. The BCHL, really curious to see where that league goes, because that was a top, like, that's a big league where the NCHC got prospects. I'm curious now to see if that's going to, if you're talking about the NCHC, I'm curious to see if the BC League is going to continue to be a feeder for the NCHC, the Western CCHA schools like Northern Michigan and Michigan Tech and stuff like that. Schools that have recruited the BC League heavily in the past, I'm curious to see if how that's going to go. It's just going to depend how many of those players go to the CHL. And same with the USHL, right? Like, there were some top Canadian players that came to the US to play in the USHL because they wanted to go to college. Now they can stay in Canada. And you might see some Americans now want to go play in the CHL. Like, there's just a lot to shake out. It's going to take some time. I think the schools that benefit, in the short term are probably, a Miami. I think I'd be curious to see if Miami goes heavy on the CHL. If there are players there that they can go recruit to quicken this rebuild. There's a whole bunch of untapped players there, because recruiting is like 2-3 years out. So that's why it can be so hard to rebuild. The transfer portal sped things up a little bit, but we got to remember the fifth years are done. There are no more fifth years. You can't go just grab a bunch of veteran guys for a year now to try and build things. You're going to need guys to leave programs. And I think guys are going to start getting more cautious about leaving programs, because I think a lot are learning that everyone thinks they can upgrade when they go into the portal, and some players are finding they're not upgrading. They're either taking whatever they can get.
So we have the portal kind of slowing down here. What have you seen with NIL in the NCHC and at UMD?
They want it, like UMD wants to get involved in it. They have a collective now. I don't know how much really that collective is feeding student athletes. Like these NCHC schools are, there's a lot of smaller schools like St. Cloud, like UMD. You have schools that, you know, you got the two MAC schools, Western Michigan and Miami. Both of those are in smaller town, you know, Oxford, Ohio. That'll be an experience when Arizona State goes there. It was an experience when some old WCHA teams first went there. Like, it's middle of nowhere, Ohio. It's a small little college town surrounded by farm fields and rolling hills. It's cool. Don't get me wrong. It's a cool little college town, but it is not even anything like you, like UMD's in a bigger city. St. Cloud's a bigger city than Oxford. Like Oxford plays in such a small town. Kalamazoo's not a big city. It's located south of Grand Rapids, but it's not a big metro area. You go to all, you know, these Summit League schools, North Dakota's in Grand Forks, North Dakota. It's Grand Forks, North Dakota. Like there's not a ton there. Omaha, even in the city of Omaha, they're probably third behind, you know, Creighton and, you know, University of Nebraska, Lincoln. Denver, while in a big city and tons of success and, you know, some of the deepest history in all of college hockey, they're still stuck behind like four or five pro sports teams, you know, Broncos, Rockies, Nuggets, Avalanche. You got the pro soccer teams there and such. Like they're fighting and scrapping for attention in that city, even though they're winning national championships. So I don't think NIL, I think this is true throughout all of college hockey, to be honest, Drew, like they're pretty far down on the pecking order. Like football players are at the top of NIL there. That's where almost all the money's going right now. Then you got basketball players, both men's and women's, volleyball, women's volleyball is a sport that's growing. And I think that's the next like big frontier. That's the next big thing in pro sports, not talking about men's and women's pro sports, just pro sports. Like when pro volleyball gets it figured out, when volleyball has its PWHL moment, like I think that's going to be very popular and big. And you're seeing a lot of colleges now invest in their volleyball program. So I think volleyball's up there. And then after that, you start getting into the hockeys and baseball, depending, you know, what part of the country you're in and such. So, I mean, what I heard a Gopher, you know, there's not big money being handed out in for the Gophers or Badgers or Notre Dame or any of them. There's just not a ton of money that's filtering down to hockey at the moment. So maybe you'll have select players here and there that get big deals. I don't even know if you're going to get to six figures. I don't know. Who knows? It could change. It all depends on who wants to give the money, right? So it'll be interesting to see how that evolves.
Was this a rule change year in college hockey?
Like the big one was high sticking. It's now shoulder instead of goalpost because it's probably easier to determine whether the blade of the stick is below the shoulder than the goalpost. Like high sticking is so hard to review and judge because it just depends where you are in the angles and the cameras and such like that. I remember UMD had a goal negated at Colorado College once for a high stick. UMD challenged it because it was obviously not a high stick, but there was no camera view that gave any good angle. So they lost a challenge. There's more latitude when it comes to checking from behind. They're not all majors anymore. Some of those can be, you know, I believe there's actually even a checking from behind minor. Yeah, it was a rules change year, but nothing major. I think the biggest thing that maybe fans may or may not notice is in faceoffs, they went back to the old rule of just tossing out the centers. College hockey briefly adopted the international rule of minor penalty after on the second violation. And UMD Scott Sandlin and the women's coach Maura Kroll were the ones that kind of were big on pushing that for them, their experience coaching in IIHF tournaments. But they've all since walked it back because the referees never handed out penalties. So it was pointless.
What are you most excited for this weekend?
Besides not being out in the cold. Like I just got a new puppy in August. So while he's past the having to go outside every hour, we're still going outside a lot. Like I still got to get up in the morning and walk the dog before I get my kids ready for school. So that's 6 a.m. It's pitch black still. It was dark, like the sun had just, I think it was, I don't even think the sun was up when I took my kid to the bus stop at 7 o'clock this morning. So besides seeing the sun and warmth, because even when in daylight, it's cloudy here in Minnesota, the sun was out briefly yesterday. So I'm excited to see the sun, and I'm excited to see where this, you know, Bulldogs men's team hockey team is at on the road. They haven't played much on the road in the first half here. So little that, they were at Miami and at Lowell, and that might have been it that I can remember right now. They've been home a lot. It'll be good to see them on the road. I want to see after the bye if they've made any progress. I want to see how this team comes out and plays before the break. I hate doing it, but it's just, you know, what we do as humans. I compare this team a lot to the 17-18 Bulldogs. I feel like they're, I know a couple of years ago, UMD brought in 10 freshmen, but it didn't have the same feel. This team has the same feel as that 17-18 Bulldogs. A lot of freshmen who were NHL draft picks or prospects. They had a rough first half. I don't think anyone remembers how rough of a first half they had, because they went on and won the national championship, but they had a rough first half. They were fighting to stay out of the basement this last weekend before break. They went to Omaha. They had to get at least a split to stay out of last place. They lost the first night, which put them into a tie with Omaha for last in the league. And then, then basically the first half bat toilet bowl, I guess, UMD won. Omaha goes into the break last in the league. UMD's not. Now, that won't happen to UMD this time around, because Miami's struggled a little bit. But, hey, you don't want to be second to last either, right? Like, if they can avoid staying out of, you know, they can get some points this weekend, even just a split. Like, they got to get a win. They got to get at least one win. If you could sweep at Arizona State, that would be great. And I know Arizona State fans would be really heartbroken because you sweep Denver, and then if you lost twice at home to UMD. But let me tell you, that's the NCHC. Like, that's what happens in this league. You can beat the top team one weekend and lose to one of the, you know, a team below you the next. It's just, it's such a grind. As Greg Powers and I were talking, I was going back and listening to the tape from Media Day. He fully understands that they may have a worse record this year than they did last year, be in a much better position to make the NCAA tournament. Like, they weren't even, Arizona State fans thought maybe they were. They were never in contention because their schedule last year. They just being in the NCHC puts you in contention. Assuming you can, you know, win the games you're supposed to win, and not lose any bad games to teams, you know, below you.
Matt, where can people see your new dog, and where can people follow you?
All my content covering the Bulldogs is at DuluthNewsTribune.com. A quick shortcut is Duluth.com/Bulldog Insider. That's all our UMD hockey content. And then on social medias, at Matt Wellens. I'm most active on Instagram and Blue Sky, but you can also always find links on Facebook and Twitter and Threads as well.
Thanks, Matt. I appreciate it. And we'll see you down here this weekend.
Thanks, Drew. Good seeing you again.
Thanks to Matt for joining the show. Puck Drop is set for 7 p.m. on Friday and 5 p.m. on Saturday at Mullet Arena in Tempe against Minnesota Duluth. Aside from hockey, this will be a big weekend for the Sun Devils all around. Football will take on Iowa State in the Big 12 championship game in Arlington, Texas. Kickoff is set for 10 a.m. Arizona time on Saturday, so you can still get your hockey fix in. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time on Inferno on Ice.
Are you planning on writing your post game at the pool?
No, I'll do that at the rink still.